Proverbs 28:9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. Amen. Let me see. What a wonderful day that God has blessed us with on tonight to continue to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. As we come, we know full well that God's will is going to be done in all things. And we need to sit ourselves in a position to be used by God often and always. This is a continuation out of the lesson from this morning, because Psalm 55 is just an awesome set of scriptures to me. And it says to us in more than one way that we still thirst for life, that we still hunger for God. I mean, have you ever thought to yourself that there's something missing in what I'm doing? Because if there's something missing, I just can't seem to put my hand on it, because surely there must be more to life than what I'm experiencing. There's more to life than what I'm seeing. There's more to life than I can even imagine. And the fact of the matter is, there is something more to life. What you hunger and thirst for is much more fulfilling than you can even think or imagine. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 9 through 12 says these words: "What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live." A.W. Tozer has said these words. He says, "Thirsty hearts are those whose longing have been wakened by the touch of God within them. That wonderful voice from God that echoes within our hearts and minds, that reminds us to do His will in all things, continues to echo in our hearts and our minds, even when we fail to do God's will. God works in our hearts to get us to desire His purposes for our lives, and so He speaks to us through His word. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purposes for your life. Nothing matters more than that, and nothing can compensate for not knowing His purposes. Not success, it will not compensate for that. Not wealth, it will not compensate. Not fame, nor even pleasure, will compensate for not knowing the purpose that God has for you in your life. You can know that. Not only can you know it, you can do it. Because without a purpose, life is a motion simply without meaning. Without a purpose, life is activity without any direction at all. Without a purpose, life is relegated to just an event without any reason whatsoever. And there have been those in the Bible who have stated those things. Isaiah 49:4, he says, "I have labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing." Job says in Job 7:6 and 7:16, he says, "My life drags by day after hopeless day. And I give up and I'm tired of living." He says, "Just leave me alone. My life makes no sense at all." When I look at these scriptures and about the hopelessness that these people had within themselves, even though they knew God, I come to the conclusion that the tragedy in our lives is not death at all. Death is not the tragedy. The tragedy in our lives is living a life without purpose, living a life without God in our lives to lead and guide us. It's not death at all. It's tragic when our lives are lived without a purpose. Because the hunger and the thirst for God is real. It's a real thirst. It's a real hunger. I hear Isaiah over in Isaiah 55 and verse number 2 ask this question: "Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Why are you engaging in a futile search for fulfilling your life without God at all?" You see, their efforts were spent on things that just couldn't sustain their lives. Much the same as us. They spent their money on bread that wasn't even bread. It didn't satisfy their hunger. And the voice of God spoke to them and reminded them over and over and over again that there is more to life than what you are buying. More to life. And he speaks those words to us as well in our lives, even on this day. There is more to life than we can think or imagine if we live our lives in Christ. Appreciate the brother reading the scripture today, but I want you to go to Isaiah 55 in verse number 13. I don't think I covered verse 13 this morning, but if I did, I want to cover it again. It's an intriguing text at best, Isaiah 55 and 13. The context of all these verses that he's speaking about is that God is, he's not forsaken Israel, and that their lives thirst for the real thing. So God comes to Israel and he promises them what will happen if they come to him. He pleads for their return. He says in verse number 13, instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. But it's evident to me when I look at Isaiah and all the things that he calls God's people to do, it's evident to me that the thorn bush and the briars are a result of people not seeking God. Whenever we get headlong within ourselves and go before God, we're going to find ourselves always in a fix. Always find ourselves in a patch of thorns and briars that we just can't seem to figure out. And we're getting scratched and clawed and we're getting injured everywhere we turn because God is not in our lives. We serve him, we worship him, we come to the assembly. But where is God? Where is he? Where is he? Just like the thorn bush and the briars, God designed those things to make the Israelites uncomfortable. And those things make us uncomfortable as well because we live our lives without him. And God designed them for this purpose immediately after the fall because they seek to bring us to a dependence, not upon ourselves, but upon the living word of God and God himself. Let me tell you something. If you ever got stuck by a rose bush, you don't walk too close. Amen. And if you want to pick one, you're careful how you approach that bush because the thorns and the briars are something you just don't want to deal with. But I don't know why we deal with that in our lives. Because if we live in our lives without God, we might as well be among those thorns and briars because it's just as painful. And we've gotten to a point where we just can't feel it any longer. Why can't we feel the pain that comes from not living a life dependent upon God? thorns and briars. They're designed for us to understand that our life is not a self-purposeful life. They bring disappointment and they drain us of our selfish hopes and our dreams. And when they drain us to a point where we just can't seem to take it anymore, we lie down and we look up to God and we begin to hear the voice of God saying, there is more to life than this. There's more to your life than what you think you've accomplished. There's more to life than what you can dream. There's more than to your life than this stuff. I want to tell you a story about eagles. Eagles live in canyons in Colorado, and they use a special kind of stick to build their nests in that particular state. And a female eagle will sometimes fly as many as 200 miles in a single day in order to find a branch from an ironwood tree. Not only are the ironwood sticks as strong as their name suggests, they have thorns that allow the branches to lock together so the nest can set securely on the ledge high above that canyon. And after building the nest, the eagle pads it with layer upon layer of leaves. and feathers and grass. And that's to protect the offspring from the sharp thorns of the ironwood tree. And in our preparation, the female eagle goes to great lengths to promote the survival of the birds that are soon going to hatch. The interest in their survival extends well beyond their birth, although the expression of that interest changes as they grow older. As young eagles grow, they begin to fight for space. Their demands for food eventually become such that the mother eagle can't feed them what they need. She instinctively knows that in order for them to survive, her brood is going to have to leave the nest. They're going to have to go. To encourage them to fend for themselves, the mother starts to pull the padding out of the nest. And as she pulls that padding out of that nest, the thorns from the ironwood start to prick those young eagles. And they get a little bit uncomfortable in the nest. Their living conditions become more painful, and they're forced to climb up to the edge of the nest. When they get to the edge of that nest, well, there's no pain and there's no pricking from those thorns and briars, the mother eagle coaxes them off that edge. And as she coaxes them off that edge, they begin to plummet straight down into that canyon at full speed to the very bottom. And as they fall, they wildly flap their wings, to break their fall. And they end up doing naturally what most eagles do. They fly. Sometimes in our lives, the things that cause us the most pain should push us to the edge to where God is. And when we fall off that edge and begin to flap our wings and God pushes that wind underneath our wings, we too can fly, but we can't do it without going through the pain. Sometimes it's just there. It's never, ever meaningless. God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives, and our lives will not and never going to benefit us if it doesn't cost us anything. So why not endure just a little bit of pain? Why not endure the thorns and the briars, knowing full well that God is going to enable us to be just like the eagle one day, and we can fly? The purpose of our lives is never ever set on this earth. The purpose of our lives is not to live here. God formed this earth in preparation for us to live in heaven, and we are to live our lives in that way. If you ever look beyond a thorn, if you ever look beyond a briar, you're going to find a beautiful plant that's called a rose. A rose. Oh, they took those thorns and them briars and they plaited them all together and they put it on the head of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they said that you have a crown of thorns on your head, and the blood just ran down his face. And after that episode, when he was resurrected, God gave him the crown of life. And that's the exact same thing that we up for. We up for the crown of life. We're going to go through some thorns and briars in our life, but that's not the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to fly. Fly in God. To be for God what he's called us to be, our purpose is it doesn't exist in us. It's not about us and all those things we can accumulate. Those thorn bushes and those briars that were in an eagle's nest will accomplish the same thing for us, each and every one of us, as it did for the Israelites as well. And we can depend on God. Because God is not slack concerning his promises, we can depend on God. And when our lives are not going in the direction they need to grow, the thorns and briars are going to prod us into longing for that change that needs to take place. We've got to change. We can't sit there and be uncomfortable all the time. We've got to change. But too many of us are reluctant to leave our comfort zones. We want to stay right where we are. I am who I am, and that's all you're going to get. And Don't let the old person come out. In all this foolishness that we can say, we are reluctant to leave our comfort zones, and we have got to leave our comfort zones because we can't tolerate the discomfort any longer, Lord. We don't want to hear the voice of God because sometimes we get used to that pain. We become callous and cavalier, and we say these words that are just really, really hateful. We say the words, "I just don't care." But our circumstances, whether you care or not, our circumstances will only become more prickly and painful because we're sitting there not going to the edge where God is. And his voice returns to us, and he speaks to us quietly, and reminds us that there is more to life than this misery. We cause each other so much misery. My God, we cause each other so much pain. My God, listen, until we get to the point where we are not afraid to climb out of our discomfort and realize that life is not just survival. God doesn't just want us to survive. He doesn't just want us to endure life. He wants us to soar like those eagles. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to settle for less than what we are capable of. We need to climb to the edge of the nest, slip off the edge, and soar with the God of heaven and earth. Soar with him. And until we do that, that thirst for God, that purpose that just haunts our lives will continue to haunt us until we repent of our sins and come to God in all humility. God has a plan for each and every one of us, church. He has a plan to activate our lives. And if we've been saved, his plan wasn't completed just because we got in that water and came out. That wasn't the end of it. It's a lifelong plan for each and every one of us that's revealed in his word. His desire is to complete his redeeming work in each and every one of us. Philippians 1:6 tells us that. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter how many sins I have in my life. We serve a God that has forgiven 100% of our sins in Christ. When he died on that cross, if you had 50 or if you had 51, if you had one or if you had five, Christ has redeemed us from 100%. Amen. Of our sins. He's taking them away. God is seeking to work out a moment in our lives that we can hear him, and work out a moment in our lives where we can see him, and work out a moment in our lives where we can be with him on a daily basis. Our salvation is rooted in what Christ did on that cross. And it's about how God is continually seeking to redeem us and our lives from right where we are this evening. Right here, he can redeem your life from where you are right now. We're all going to have thorns and briars in our lives. We're going to have problems. Yes, we are. And if we never had problems, our world would never have needed to be redeemed. But our world needs to be redeemed. You have a problem. You have a problem. You have a problem. I have a problem. Sometimes we have problems collectively. But we don't need to kill each other because of those problems. We need to allow God to push us to the edge. Every life here needs to experience God's work of redemption. Every life. Our world is very thirsty and very hungry. It's an uncomfortable world that we live in. We don't need to make each other more uncomfortable. But we do. But we do. We purposely go outside and we get the thorns and briars and we put them there just like a childhood trick in school. We put a tack in the seat waiting for somebody to sit down. And they sit and we laugh at it and we don't try to help them. We live in an uncomfortable world, church. And we fill our calendars with all these activities that we think is going to fulfill our purpose. We work overtime to pay for all those things, and we run from mall to mall to quench the thirst and kill the hunger pains. We spend our lives and our money on junk food while our souls cry out for manna from heaven. Our souls cry out for the bread of life. What's our purpose? What are we seeking to fulfill? The Israelites were seeking fulfillment without God. They sought to create gods to fulfill themselves with. They looked to themselves. They didn't look to God. And there was no fulfillment. Go read it. Go read it. There was none. None. If there's no fulfillment in your life, you need to look around and find out where you are in the nest. Because you're still in there. Still among those thorns and those briars, and you're being pricked because our lives are so uncomfortable and we're not giving Satan any credit for ruining our lives. Not any. Isaiah 46, 6 through 7 says these words. Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. And from that spot, it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it doesn't answer, because it cannot save you from your troubles. Religion, religion, religion. We use religion to make ourselves feel better all the time. When we don't feel like being Christians, we turn to religion. There are religious people of the day when Jesus walked this earth as well. And they used their religion to make themselves feel better, but Jesus confronted them with the standards that they believed because they were not acceptable to God. They sought self-righteousness, not the righteousness that comes from God. They stressed external observances and they argued that duty and service were what really mattered. And Jesus says, Let's just stop this foolishness. Let me just let you know right now, Matthew 15, 8 through 11, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts, they fall from me. They fall far away. How far is your heart away from God? I mean, we're talking about real life. We're talking about real pain, and we're talking about real issues here. And we need to talk about those things collectively. We need to pray about those things collectively, because the pain and the hurt is real. It's there. Until we make up our minds to walk to the edge to where God is and actually plunge ourselves into his word and let him take over our lives, and let's be dependent upon him, we are going to sit and be uncomfortable. We're going to sit and be pricked. We are going to sit until we bleed and die among those thorns, among those briars. We don't have to. We can agree that we disagree sometimes. We don't have to fight all the time. We can fly instead of fight. That's what Solomon says. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. The heart is the fountain from which the issues of every life flows. But he also said the heart is deceitful above all things. So it's absolutely essential that our hearts focus on God's direction for our lives. It's essential. And when our hearts are not focused on God, we hear that voice reminding us that something here is missing in my life. Something is missing. Something is not here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this very reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and high is the love of Christ. And to know that that love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Know that it even surpasses your own knowledge. God's Spirit works in our hearts, church. It's God's Spirit that works in our hearts, that's seeking to lead us to be filled with the fullness of God. So when you start thinking, surely there must be more to life than this, you begin to listen to God's Spirit. When you start thinking, you need to start listening. Listen to God's Spirit. It's already at work in you. And when God's powerful Spirit begins to work within you, what a wonderful, wonderful purpose that your life can have. That's why he says in chapter 55, verses 8 and following, for your ways are not my ways. He says that. He says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts. He said, the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways. And we know that. And we know that. But we don't live like that. We live as if we've never heard a higher calling at all from God. We hear when he calls us for dinner. That's a low pitch call. It did. It used to ring a bell. Amen. Time to eat. Come get it. What is it that moves you? What is it that gives you purpose in life? What is it that you're filling up your life with that's causing you to stray away from God? I got to tell you, church, there's more to my life than what you see. And there's more to my life than what I can see. There's more to my life that God is going to show me in the future, and he will bless me abundantly because I do not wish to have my thoughts take over the thoughts of my God. I'm not going to have my religion take over my life when it comes to serving God. You may not understand how to remove the thorn bushes and the briars, but God is capable of making your life more fruitful than you can ever imagine. He can begin to bless your life in the midst of reaping the consequences of your bad decisions. We make them all the time. Here's a thought for you. Here's a thought for you. Have you ever thought to yourself that there's something missing in all I'm doing? Surely there must be more to life than what I am experiencing. There's got to be more. And there is something more to life. What you hunger and thirst for is much more fulfilling than you can even think or imagine. God's Spirit is at work fulfilling us in all the blessings of life he gives us. And when God's powerful Spirit begins to work, his unimaginable plan for our lives begins to be unfolded. Can we help you unfold your purpose for life tonight? Can we help you understand that Jesus says that I am the bread of life? Your fathers, they thirst and hunger in the desert and they died. You don't have to die. There's a purpose for your life. You can depend upon God. You can do it. And if we can help you to do it, those of us tonight that are here, we're not immune to briars and thorns. Those of us that are here tonight, we're not immune to sin. And God calls each and every one of us to hear his word and believe his word. He calls us to confess Christ and repent of our sins and know full well that we are sorry, not with worldly sorrow, but with godly sorrow. Because we pain each other sometimes a little bit too much for no apparent reason, no good reason, and we cause pain to ourselves as well. I'm going to tell you, it hurts. It hurts. But just go to the edge where God is. Go to the edge. And understand that once you hear his word and believe it, confess Christ and repent of your sins, that you can be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're baptized already, why are you waiting to repent? Because our repentance is our righteousness. Let's not be right before God. Let's be righteous before God. Because anybody can be right within themselves. We can have a self-righteousness that God doesn't even recognize. Let's not be like the Israelite nation. Let's be righteous before a true and living God and know that our purpose is to depend solely upon him and not ourselves. For your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, says the Lord. If we can help tonight, why don't you come and we stand and sing God's invitation song.